namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Nashobate gyanamalam niranjanam.
Nashobate gyanamalam niranjanam.
Kuta punam shashvada badram ishvare.
Kuta punam shashvada badram ishvare.
Nacharpitam karma yadapya karanam.
Nacharpitam karma yadapya karanam.
Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjita.
Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam.
Nashobate gyanamalam niranjanam.
Nashobate gyanamalam
niranjanam. Kutak punam shashvada badram ishvare. Nachar pitam karma yadapya karanam. Naishkarmiyam.
Self-realization.
Self-realization.
Being freed from the reactions of fruitive work.
Being freed from the reaction of
Api, in spite of,
Achyuta,
the infallible Lord,
Bhava,
conception,
Varjitam,
devoid of,
Na,
does not,
Shobate,
look well.
Jnana,
transcendental knowledge,
Alam,
by and by,
Niranjanam,
free from designations,
Kuta,
where is,
Punaha,
again, Shashwat. Always.
Abhadram.
Uncongenial.
Ishvare.
Unto the Lord.
Na.
Not.
Cha.
And.
Arpitam.
Offered.
Karma.
Fruitive work.
Yadapi,
what is?
Akaranam,
not fruitive. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Knowledge of self-realization. Even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literature is devoid of transcendental glorification of the Lord or condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruit of work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service. Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead. And that's when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Naishkarmyam, avoidance of all work, detachment, liberation from the entanglement of work. That is generally accomplished by pursuit of Gyanam. And that is Naishkarmyam Gyanam. It's what Narada is talking about here. Knowledge that leads to liberation from entanglement in work. There are all sorts of knowledge. The word Gyanam has most broad sense. It's even broader than it is in English. In English, we distinguish between knowledge and ignorance. Of course, we do in Sanskrit too, but in English, it's understood knowledge is supposed to be correct knowledge. If I know that 2 plus 2 is 5, that's not knowledge. That's a mistake. But in Sanskrit, the word jnana means any realization, any awareness, correct or incorrect. And then we have other terms for correct knowledge. Prama is correct understanding. But jnana is very general. Any awareness is called jnana. Right or wrong, personal or impersonal. So what is being condemned or rejected by Narada here is Naishkarmyam Gyanam, and not just, he's not against, altogether against, knowledge for the sake of liberation, but he's against it if it's Achyuta Bhava Varjitam, if it lacks any sense of Krishna consciousness. Achyuta. This word also is a very general word. It means chu is to fall down or to drip down. Like if I cut the trunk of a tree, the sap will flow. And that flowing down by the force of gravity, chu, chavanam, or dripping down. Gravity pulls everything down. So a liquid will flow down. That is called chuta, chavanam. Atyuta is that which doesn't fall down, which cannot be depleted, cannot be brought down. Well, that's the derivational understanding of the word. But it's used to mean the supreme, the infallible or indestructible supreme, which never falls down from its position. But here, Narada is talking not about impersonal Brahman, but about the personality of Godhead. So by convention, the name Achyuta is the name of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Lord Achyuta. And therefore Prabhupada puts in brackets, in the translation, the infallible, bracket, God, not the infallible, impersonal supreme. The problem is, with impersonal realization, devoid of God consciousness, nishobhate, it's not glorious. It doesn't actually perfect our life, to have just impersonal realization. Alam niranjanam. Even though it's free of all material contamination, no dirt, no contamination, still, it will not bring satisfaction to the soul. Kutak punaksh. And what to speak of? Shashvara Bhadram, karma, fruitive work, which is always inauspicious. It's just materialistic. Fruitive work is selfish work. If it's not offered to the Supreme Lord, then it's useless, akarana, and auspicious, inauspicious to start with. You can fix it and make it auspicious by offering it to God. He can accept it. He's able to, just like fire can transform the impure into pure. We offer auspicious items into the fire and sacrifice, and the fire devours it and transports it to the demigods in Swargaloka. The fire also devours everything. If the house burns down, then everything clean and unclean will be devoured by the fire. But that's a way of purification. You can purify something ultimately by burning it, like burning the garbage. That disposes of it. Fire is able to purify everything in context. If an offering is made of your work, even though it's inauspicious to start with, for the pleasure of God, then it becomes auspicious by it being offered to Him. Anyway, Narada is telling this to Vyas because Vyasadeva did write, compose, present books that promoted both Gyanakanda and Karmakanda. So he's responsible for what he wrote. And therefore, Narada is telling him, you had better complete your work, otherwise you'll be blamable for leaving the living entities entangled in just Karmakanda and Gyanakanda, which are inauspicious from the transcendental point of view. Although they may be considered progressive spiritual activities by those who are attached to them, devotees following Narada Muni consider Gyanakanda and Karmakanda to be most inauspicious. Srila Narottam Das, Thakur sings, Karmakanda Gyanakanda Kevala Vishera Bhanda Omrita Boliya Jeva Kai Nana Joni Shadapire Karaya Mokshana Kore Tara Janma Adakpate Jai. Karmakanda and Gyanakanda, in the view of Narottam Das Thakur, are just poison, like vessels filled with poison. Maybe colorful, and the child may be confused and think there's something nice to drink in the bottle, but it's poison. So foolish living entities drink from the bottles of Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, not knowing that they are poison. And unlike an ordinary poison, they don't kill you just once, but repeatedly. Nana Yoni Shadapira. You have to take birth repeatedly in various species of life, high and low. Kadarya Bokshana Kore. And you won't be able to follow your proper diet, sattvic diet, because you'll be in a pig's body or a dog's body, eating all sorts of garbage. Kadarya Bokshana Kore. Tar Janma Adak Pate Jai. And thus your birth is going, you're falling headfirst down into the lowest regions of the material existence, birth after birth. This is the result of becoming attached to Karmakanda or Gyanakanda. It means repeated births, and some of them are going to be very degraded births. So it's not glorious, therefore, Narada is telling his disciple, that you're promoting these activities. You've got to counteract that. You've got to temper your presentation by putting proper emphasis on Krishna consciousness. Because, Prabhupada says, the bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead. Bhoktaram yagatapasam. I am the rightful claimant of the shares of sacrifice, the yagya bhaga. Demigods may quarrel over who gets the shares. The Ashwini Kumars were taking somarasa, but only 10 demigods are officially allowed to take the somarasa. And Ashwini Kumars got themselves added to the list, but that created a great controversy. Some of the demigods wanted them off the list, that they shouldn't be allowed. Who are they? Just doctors. Why should they be allowed to, with Indra and Surya, to take the somarasa? I don't know what happened in the end. I think they still can get. There are 11 demigods. Yes? Oh, yeah, he gave them the deal. He got his youth and he made sure they could have the somarasa. But the actual enjoyer of all the fruits, apart from all these quarrels of who gets what, the one who gets everything, the bona fide enjoyer of all the work, is the personality of Godhead. Yagyo vai Vishnu. The sacrifice is non-different from Vishnu, as declared in the Shatapata Brahmana. Anyway, this will be presented in the Bhagavatam. Narada is now pointing it out to Srila Vyasa. So Prabhupada is talking about not only ordinary literature being condemned, but even the Vedic literatures. Now, it's not that Narada is actually condemning the Vedas, nor does Krishna condemn the Vedas in the Bhagavad Gita. You could look at the passage that said, where Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjana. The Vedas deal with the topics of the three modes of material nature. But you, Arjuna, should be beyond the modes. Okay, there Krishna seems to be criticizing the Vedas, but not really. The Vedas are a desire tree. They present themselves differently to different audiences. For many people, because most people are materialistic, the Vedas mostly present the face of karmakanda. But just like Lord Brahma, who spoke the Vedas first, it's got four heads. The Vedas have many heads, many faces. And one of their faces that most people are looking at is the karmakanda face. But another aspect of the Vedas that some see and put emphasis on is the jnanakanda. And then there's the upasanakanda, worship of different demigods. And then bhakti is actually, the last face, the secret face of the Vedas, that not many people are looking at. But all these aspects are there. So when Krishna says the Vedas, Arjuna, don't be too much interested in the Vedas, they're talking about material things, and you're supposed to be transcendental. He's not rejecting the Vedas. He's rejecting the karmakanda vision of the Vedas. Because elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna promotes the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvayanaham eva vedya. I am to be known by all the Vedas. If Krishna didn't respect the Vedas, why would he bother to say that? Vishibir bahudha gitam chando bi vividai krita Brahma sutra padaischa eva hetu madbir vinishchitai. When Krishna starts describing to Arjuna the difference between Prakriti and Purusha, and between the Kshetram and the Kshetragyam, in the 14th chapter. He says, what I'm going to talk to you about now, I'm not making up out of my own head. It's not my own philosophy. This is the ancient Vedic philosophy. Philosophy I'm going to discuss now, Rishi Bir Bahudha Gitam, the great Vedic rishis, the ones who spoke the mantras recorded in the Rig Veda and other Vedas, they have described the same truth in various ways, in their chandobi, in their mantras. And it has all been explained systematically in the Brahma Sutra by Bhadarayana Vyas. So Krishna is appealing to the authority of the Vedas to support what he's teaching to Arjuna. Krishna is acknowledging the Vedas as supreme authority. He's not rejecting the Vedas, nor will Narada do such a thing. Srila Prabhupada also always talked about Krishna consciousness being Vedic. Vedic civilization, Vedic literature, that means based on the authority of the Vedas. But we understand the authority of the Vedas as explained to us by Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. We don't have otherwise access directly to the Vedas. Just like we don't approach God, Krishna, without intermediate connection of the Guru. Similarly, we don't try to approach the Vedas directly without the intermediacy of the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Kali Yuga, the Vedas are too difficult for ordinary people to understand. Bhuyanti yat suryaha. Even the great Vedic rishis, the great sages, are confused about how the Absolute Truth is explained in the Vedas. What to speak of ordinary human beings in Kali Yuga? So we can have Vedic knowledge. We can study the Vedas if we're interested. And we have time to do such a thing. And it's any use of it for us. But we study it after studying Srimad Bhagavatam. All other literatures, all other texts that we read, we judge and we understand according to the basic teachings of the Bhagavatam first. Our ultimate scriptural authority is Srimad Bhagavatam. Our understanding of Vedanta, of Vedas, of anything else, show me any book and I'll tell you, according to the opinion of Bhagavatam, where that book stands. Is it right? Is it wrong? How do we agree? How do we don't agree? That's all judged according to the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's our doctrine. You know, we are devotees of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatas means devotees of Bhagavan, but it also means devotees of Bhagavatam. That is our authority. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Usually when I have a jnana, I guess it said that it leads to liberation. So in which sense Narottam Das Thakur condemns
him? Well, because he's condemning, that means he's condemning impersonal liberation as a final goal. You know, if impersonal liberation was the best thing to have, then okay, impersonal knowledge that leads to it would be great. But that impersonal liberation, it doesn't satisfy the soul. It's not the full, it doesn't fulfill the real potential of the spirit soul. Therefore, the means that leads to it is inadequate because the goal is inadequate. Okay?
If nobody would be able to read and understand in Kali Yuga all the Vedic literature,
yes,
and what was necessary for Vyasadeva to get down with it?
Well, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Brahmins had not given up yet. They were still trying to be Vedic. We even know in fairly recent history, study of the Vedas, it's even going on now. There are a few Gurukulas. You went to one of them where they teach the Vedas. So it hasn't stopped, even after 5,000 years. And what does it mean of 5,000 years ago? The Brahmins were still trying to be Vedic. So Vyasadeva promoted this. He organized the Vedic sacrifice system in a modern, rational way. He divided the Vedas up into separate books to promote Vedic study and Vedic sacrifice. Even though as Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes, even with all the help that Vyasadeva gave, it becomes impractical. But not completely. Yagyaik Sankirtana Prayaya. It's not that we perform only Sankirtana, that we only chant Hare Krishna and won't do anything else. We perform yagyas. We can do a Vedic fire sacrifice. We do for initiations, for weddings, for funerals, we do for taking sannyas. We perform yagya. And if it was really a use for it, we could perform a soma yagya. You know, not that I don't think Prabhupada would encourage such a thing, but it could be done theoretically. We do follow the Vedic path. We can study the Vedas, we can study Upanishads especially. So Vaishnavas, even the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, are not against this, but it's not our prime interest, you know, to go back to the ancient Vedas. It is difficult to understand. Even if we, suppose the BBT decides we're going to publish a translation and commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Okay, we'll translate to Govinda Bhasha and publish it. That would be a nice thing to do, but the audience would be limited. Other sampradayas are doing just that. They're publishing so many books about Vedanta Sutra. But who's reading them? A few hundred people. In India, a few people are interested to read about Vedanta. Most people, you know, are just way above their heads and they have no interest in it. Even among devotees. So, you know, we can have interest in the Vedas, some special interest. But what's of real practical use is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is presenting the same knowledge, but in a much more easily understandable form. But anyway, Vyasadeva promoted the Vedas and Vedic sacrifice because there was still interest in it, a lot of interest in his time, 5,000 years ago. And it's gradually becoming less and less. And that Vedic culture gradually evolves into Vaishnav culture, as we know it. The sages who came together at Naimisharanya, their initial purpose was to perform a 1,000-year soma sacrifice. Sahasra Sama Mahasata. Why they came to Naimisharanya? To try to do something to forestall the oncoming effects of Kali Yuga. So they thought the most effective, because they were mostly Vedic sages, they thought the best thing we could probably do is a big soma sacrifice. And the biggest one you can do is a 1,000-year-long sacrifice. Varuna, I think, once did. You know, but it's very rarely done. And in fact, they probably never finished it. They tried. You know. But what they ended up deciding in the course of trying to perform that sacrifice, that it was even more valuable to hear from Sutta Goswami, the Mahabharata and Puranas. That, considering the time and place, was more effective, this Harikatha. And finally, after hearing Mahabharata and then all the other Puranas, they heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And by that, they fulfilled their purpose. They came there to perform a Vedic sacrifice. By the time they were finished, their main interest was just to hear the Bhagavatam. So in that way, the Vedic, you can see, right in front of your eyes, at Naimisharanya, the Vedic culture transforming into Bhagavad culture. So the purpose, Vyasadeva fulfilled his purpose. He established the Vedas, but the ripened fruit of that tree of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. It grows out of the Vedic tree, so the Vedas should be there. But we're interested especially in the fruit that grows on the top of that tree. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes.
And also, isn't it that once they become Vaishnava, when it is said that the general people cannot understand, it's those who are not Vaishnava, isn't it? Because once a person becomes a Vaishnava, then it is said in some Puran that those who wear the marks of Shankha Chakra, then it is those who are Vaishnavas. For them, all the meanings of the Vedas are revealed. And so once they become, once the population in Kali Yuga becomes Vaishnava, then for them the Vedas will be, like they can make sense out of it.
Well, that means the meaning of the Vedas, the purport of the Vedas. But most devotees, if you recite a couple of suktas of the Rig Veda to them, they won't know what it means. They know what the purport is. They can discuss the essential philosophy, but they don't know what the words of the Vedic language mean. They don't know what the mantras mean. They can't chant them properly. You know, they don't know how to do the swaras and all the details of pronunciation. So that they don't know. So Shonaka at Naimisharanya praised Suta Goswami. Manye Twam Vishaye Vacham Snatam Anyantu Chandasat. I consider, even though I am a very famous sage and you're just a Suta mixed class, not even a proper Brahmana, but I'm glorifying you. I'm sitting here on the floor and you're sitting in the Vyasasana. And I think that you are expert in all the topics. Maybe you don't know the chandas. You don't know the technicalities of reciting the Vedas. Maybe you never study because you're not a Brahmin. You weren't allowed to study the Vedas. That doesn't matter. I'm sitting here at your feet as your disciple because I consider that you're expert in everything that does matter. You know, but still, Suta Goswami, what does Vedic Sutras claim? What is it? Us. We can't claim to be expert in the Vedas. You know, some Vedic Brahmin comes to us, he'll just blow us over. We can't engage in debate with him on the Vedas. We don't know them. But we know the essence of the Vedas. You know, so we can study the Vedas, but we'll never become, you know, unless we go back, you know, just from the age of five, you know, go back and spend 8-12 years memorizing the Rig Veda. But, you know, it's no need for that for us, and it's too late anyway. Yeah. So a devotee doesn't know the details of the Vedas, he knows the essence of the Vedas.
They said like Savanaya Kalpate, he becomes qualified for Yajna. So if they chant, if they perform the Vinyogas of those mantras, then there will be the potency for Vaishnava chants.
Yeah, well, if you really, we had a need for Vaishnavas to perform Savanam. Savanam is Soma Yajna. Su means to squeeze the Soma juice from the stalks of the plant. So, a Vaishnav, even though he's born as a Chandala, he can perform Soma sacrifice. But he'll have to get trained up. It's a very complex procedure. Where it takes years of training to be ready to do it. I wouldn't try to sit down and do a soma sacrifice. I'd make a mess of it. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know where to start. So with proper training, yes, an initiated Vaishnava should be allowed to do it. It may create a big scandal. Yeah, but if that's what you want, if you want to do that, then it can be done. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
So, like you said, we don't study the Vedas, but we do know the essence of the Vedas. Someone may ask, like those who study the Vedas, how can you say that you know the essence without studying them?
Because we learned from the person who has studied them, Vyasadeva, who compiled them. So we're trained up by Vyasa himself. He's our Shiksha Guru. And, okay, maybe we should have a few specialists who can rattle off, you know, mantra after mantra from the Vedas and explain it according to the Brahmanas and ancient commentaries. Maybe we should have some Vedic specialists, one or two. Then when the Vedic Brahmins come and criticize, we can argue with them. But if that's a job for specialists, I wouldn't, you know. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.